Tango Tango Papa 1723, April 4th, 2013.
Have we seen the actual reality of a monstrous crime? Or merely an illusion, the product of a tortured brain?
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Tom Wiles here with you, coming to you this evening from Lawrence, Mississippi. That is, I guess it's about exit, it is exit 100 off of Interstate 20 in Mississippi. So on the 1st, April the 1st, I came back to work. And so I picked a load up in the afternoon, well, it was actually in the evening, at Russellville, Arkansas, and then that load delivered to, it was going to San Antonio, Texas, but they had me drop it at Wilmer, Texas. So I went to Wilmer. I got there, it was like 3 a.m. On the 2nd when I got there, 3 a.m. in the morning. Wilmer's a suburb of Dallas, so I went to the company yard there and so dropped that trailer, dropped that load, and then Tuesday, or the 2nd, get my day straight, I think that was the 2nd, got my physical. I was originally going to do that at Oshawata, Oklahoma, but that didn't work out, and so then they ended up having me get it at Wilmer, Texas, and so actually I got the physical, I think it was in Lancaster, at a place in Lancaster, which is a nearby, it's one of the other suburbs of Dallas. There's many, many suburbs of Dallas. So got that took a good chunk of the day, got back, passed the physical, got back, and then they had to send the paper, you know, fax the paperwork off to Lincoln, and then I had to watch some videos and what have you. Finally got that all finished, got that all completed. And so in the meantime, they went ahead, they wanted to update the Qualcomm here in the truck, and so they were doing that. That actually didn't take so long. They were able to complete that, got that completed before I ever went to get the physical. But so now the Qualcomm's even slower. I don't know what they did to it. They updated it, some kind of an update. But so now it's even slower than it was before. If you watch the video that I put up on YouTube, you know, I was kind of demonstrating, and had a short video, I demonstrated how slow it was. Well, it's even a little bit slower now. You know, the thing is just, it's really underpowered is what the big problem is, I think. And then, of course, it's an embedded version of Windows. So, it, you know, that's all I have, and have to put up with it. And it's slow and it's clunky, but it does do the job. I just have to put up with it. You know, it just takes a little while to do anything with it. You can't do it very quickly or efficiently. So, after everything was kind of completed, then, you know, with the physical, then they sent me to, the oil change was due. You know, I know I've had the truck in the shop a lot, the past, you know, in the recent past, the truck's been in the shop quite a bit, but it was, the oil change was due. So instead of having me change the oil at the terminal, because it would have been, Wednesday evening before they could even get to it, they sent me to a commercial oil change place called Speedco, and that actually worked out well. I was there maybe an hour, a little over an hour. They changed the oil, and they also did an annual inspection on the truck, and so I was in and out of there pretty quick. And then after that, then they sent a load that picked up in Fort Worth. And then that load goes to McDonough, Georgia. So now I'm on, that's where I'm on my way to McDonough, Georgia. So, should get there sometime tomorrow, you know, as tomorrow being the 4th. It's after midnight, actually, now. So today was the 3rd, and of course today was my birthday, and so anyone that, there was about a jillion birthday wishes on Facebook, and so anyone that sent birthday wishes, thank you. I turned 58, that's hard to believe. The time really goes by fast, so... But birthday was kind of uneventful. It was sort of cool today. I think maybe now this is probably the warmest it's, once I made it here, it's probably the warmest it's been all day. I think it was, when I looked earlier, it was 55 degrees here. So before that, not too far up the road, at least according to the weather widget on my phone, it was 47, and it's been kind of raining and drizzly all day. You know, varying degrees of rain. There was a period where when I was going through Louisiana, where the rain was actually coming down fairly hard for a ways. So, I don't know. I haven't looked at any maps or anything, but or weather maps, but I'm assuming it's probably going to get a little bit warmer as I proceed further east and get to the Atlanta area. I'm assuming it may be a little bit warmer there, but again, I haven't even looked at the weather map, so I really don't know what's going on or what's supposed to go on, what the forecast is. So it's just, you know, unless I look, it'll just be a surprise. So but it, you know, the weather's the weather, and it can be, you know, there's a lot of people that are complaining, well, it's, the calendar changed to spring, and it's still cold, and they're whining about it, and, you know, the weather is the weather. You know, as I've said many times, that's why we build shelters, because we have to. If we didn't, we would, you know, be outside all the time, you'd die. You die of exposure. So, in any case, I'm still listening to the audiobook version of the Bible. I would highly recommend, if you haven't heeded my advice, and get an audiobook version of it. It's well worth the trouble. You know, a lot of people will complain about the King James English. You know, so they've got all these different versions. And what I'm listening to is actually the King James Version. And as I said before, I've gotten to where I can really follow the King James English quite well. And to the point where, you know, I'm able to follow the stories. You know, with some exceptions, I'm able to kind of follow the stories. And the King James English, it's interesting, you know, because one of the things that I realized, you know, because all through there's this phrase called "I pray thee," you know, and you'll find that phrase all over the place, you know, and I realized, well, what that means, I ask thee, I'm asking you. To pray means to ask, and I would have, if I would have had a New International Version, of course they wouldn't, they'd probably say, "I ask." And of course they would still use the word pray, but usually they use that in reference, you pray to God. Well, because what got me thinking, well, "I pray thee," well, what do you mean, "I pray"? Aren't you just supposed to pray to God? No, the word means "I ask," so to pray means to ask. Even if you're praying to God, you're asking. Now the question, what are you, you know, when you pray to God, or when you ask God, what are you asking God for? Are you asking God for a new car, or a new house, or money, or more sex, or more food? What do you ask, you know, what do you ask God for? And if you are asking, you know, and I'm sure there are people that do, if you're asking God for a new car or this or that or watch, you know, or they'll say, oh, watch over somebody, you know, like watch over some, you know, relative or friend. That's pretty common. You know, and I guess that's kind of, that's okay to do that, I suppose. But what if the, you know, a lot of times, what if the person you're asking to watch, you know, God to watch over for you, what if that person's rotten? You know, and how do you know what's good for them? Do they need watched over? You know, do they need saved from themselves, in other words? So how do you know what should you ask God? You know, doesn't God, it says that he knows what you need. How do you know, you know, so, and then there's a couple of other verses where they talk, you know, at least a couple of others, where someone's asking God, basically, God, do what you think is right. And that's really a good prayer. If you're going to ask God for, that's really something really good to ask God. Ask God to do what he thinks is right. And mean it. And so that's about that's really the only thing that you can ask God to put his nature in you, to awaken his nature in you. And you ask God to do what he thinks is right. Not what I think, not what you think, what God thinks. Because in the end, that's the only thing that really matters. You know, and then I'm sure you've heard of the term Ark of the Covenant. It's, you know, and there's this one story that goes into great detail about the Ark of the Covenant, and of course, as I understand it, you know, the tablets, the second set of tablets that Moses got from God that had the Ten Commandments on it, they put that into this, you know, it's kind of like a treasure chest, the Ark of the Covenant. That's kind of the way, you know, the impression that I got of it, that it's sort of like a treasure chest that's got these stone tablets that God wrote with his own finger, you know, into the rock, the Ten Commandments. And talks about, you know, that's the home of God. And so they put this treasure chest, basically, type of, you know, Ark of the Covenant in the temple. And so on and so forth. You know, and of course, that's talking about the Ten Commandments. And these, you got to remember, these people were, you know, the story of the children of Israel. That's basically kind of civilizing the heathen, you know, kind of picking a people out of the heathen and you know, sort of beginning to civilize them, turn them into genuine human beings, and sort of create a more advanced civilization. God was sort of creating a more advanced civilization based on his values, not what we think is advanced, but based, you know, based on what he believes is more, you know, what, you know, in other words, what is more advanced, more wisdom, etc., etc. And so, ultimately, you know, the idea popped into my head. We as human beings, if we're if we have a genuine identity that comes from our Creator, we become the Ark of the Covenant. Because, you know, it says basically, you know, God God's Spirit dwells within us. Our body is the temple. God's Spirit dwells within us. And, you know, He's our God and we're His people. And so He directs us. He sort of tells us what to do, or program, almost you could put it in more, you know, different language, programs us in real time. Sort of, we know what to do. And so in a way you could say, you know, you read the Bible, you listen to the Bible all the way through. Don't try to study it, but just listen to it. Listen to the stories and kind of follow along the stories. And that is designed to awaken something within you. It awakens an identity within you. It sort of awakens the Ark of the Covenant within you. So we as human beings sort of become a kind of a living Ark of the Covenant. God dwells within us. His nature dwells within us. And that's not to say that we are God. We are not. We're a vessel. A vessel that's been given awareness. But a vessel that's very suggestible. So where do you want to get your suggestions from? Want to take them from your rotten friends or a rotten world? Or from your creator? So, you know, it's pretty interesting. All of this stuff is in the Bible. You know, and it's not really a good idea to just start quoting verses and chapters or trying to, you know, study this chapter or memorize this or memorize that. You know, it's kind of like I can use it. I was on the phone with my youngest brother a while ago. He called up to wish me a happy birthday, and we got to talking about this stuff. And I said an analogy would be 1 + 1 = 2. You understand the concept of 1 + 1 = 2, and you understand that, you know, you have one object and another object, and then you put the two together, you have two objects. Once you understand that, then you don't need to continue to study it. And so once you understand, if you can listen through the Bible, kind of follow those stories, and that spirit is awakened within you. God's spirit basically is awakened within you. Then you don't need to continually, you know, study this verse or study that verse, or you don't need that. You know, follow the story. The story is the most important part, is, you know, these different stories. And the meaning, it's amazing. The Bible is written in such a way that it, you know, it's, you know, the meaning is so densely packed within it that it, you can hear a story and see, you know, see the major elements of it, but then hear it again and it comes to you an entire, you know, something else comes to life. And it's quite amazing that you can always see new things. And so I'm continuing to, you know, I'm in the Old Testament, you know, the second time around. I'm kind of probably, I don't know, I'd say at least midway through the Old Testament and listening to it, or maybe a little bit farther. And enjoying it more than ever. It is really enjoyable. You know, this idea, it's a drudgery, and of course, people, you should do this, or you should read the Bible, and you should study this, and you should go to church, and all that crap. It's all a bunch of crap, and all it ends up doing is discouraging you, putting you off. But it's right there under your nose. All you have to really do is listen to it or read it. You know, it's easier for me, obviously much easier for me to listen to it as I'm driving and kind of follow along and you know, these stories that are in there, the way the words are structured, sometimes that provides some real clues. For example, there's this one, and I can't tell you where it's at, but it's a female character in there, and she says, she's talking about her husband, and she says, he hateth me, but he loveth me not. Now, what that, if you just approach that from a dry intellectual viewpoint, how that doesn't make any sense. He hateth me, but he loveth me not. Now, what do you mean? He hateth me, but he loveth me not. Now, I already have the concept. And I listened to that, and it kind of stuck out like a sore thumb. Yeah, you know, and it's the words. I don't know the people that translated it. They obviously tried to do their best. He hateth me, but he loveth me not. So, in other words, you know, the husband. A better way of putting it, or in, you know, at least in our language, modern language. You're trying to correct, the husband's trying to correct the wife, but he's doing it in the wrong way. It would be like the people in the supermarket checkout line, the little kid's crying for this, you know, he's a little kid after all, crying for this or crying for that, and the parent gets mad and, you know, kind of overreacts, you know, and the parent disciplines the child, but they do it with resentment. They do it with their own animosity towards the child. And so that's basically this female character was saying, you know, that her husband had animosity towards her. That's where the loveth me not part comes in. So all of that's there. It's just difficult. It's a little difficult to understand because of the King James English. But if you can get past that and get to the point where you can actually listen to that, then these concepts can kind of come to life. And then, you know, there it is. It was right there all the time. But somehow you missed it. Somehow our entire society has missed it. The world missed it. And it's really, in a sense, it's sort of a sad thing because this really isn't about religion and so on and so forth, and going to church and paying your tithe and so on and so forth. It's about identity. Where does your identity come from? Do you enjoy living your life? In a sense, we're sort of born cut off from our Creator because we're born in sin. We're born at a distance from our Creator. Adam and Eve were created with a direct relationship with her Creator, especially Adam. He had this direct relationship, and he messed it up. And so we, the offspring of Adam and Eve, are sort of born in a messed up state. We're born at a distance. We're born separated with a separation from our Creator. And so we have the opportunity to go back the other way, to be saved from that. We cannot save ourselves. It's not possible. You can't roll your own sleeves up and save yourself. You can't do it. That's why you may end up in the gutter. You may have to be in the gutter and there's no other options and you've tried everything else. And maybe at that point, you know, there are people that then they become rational and then they, oh, okay, I've tried it, tried all these other things. There's no other option. Then they begin to think rationally instead of running away from it. They begin, you know, they accept the identity that God offers us rather than continuing to view it as some guilty conscience that they have to run away from. But if you can find the right relationship with that identity, it changes everything. It really does change everything. Changes your entire outlook. But it's really unfortunate that so many people approach this in a, you know, kind of the fake and phony religiosity way. Because they end up kind of completely missing the thing that they should be finding. And then, of course, there are plenty of people that are just completely turned off by the fake and phony religiosity approach and want nothing to do with any of it. They lose out too. Mention it once in a while. If you go to my website, truckertompodcast.com, up at the top there's a link that says meditation. If you'll click on that link, there are, I think, 3 or 4 files on there, and they'll teach you how to meditate. Download them, put them on your iPod or on your computer, burn them to CDs, however you want to do it. And it teaches you a very simple meditation technique, and once you've gotten the technique, once you've understand how to make it work, then you don't need to continue to listen to the, you know, once you've got it, once you've got the concept, you've got it. You don't have to have someone instructing you anymore. It's a very simple technique that will help you separate your consciousness, your conscious awareness from the machinery of your mind. We as human beings, as I've said many times, are not our thoughts. We have a tendency to think that we are our thoughts. We believe that we're our thoughts, but we're not. And this meditation technique, if you learn to do it right, you can actually focus your awareness away from your thoughts, away from the constant whirlwind, squirrel cage of the thoughts kind of going around and around and around endlessly in your mind. And as such, if you're in the moment, because that's the only place where God is not in your thoughts. God is in the moment. And so you, essentially, you end up, one way of putting it, you end up kind of being reprogrammed by your creator. Now, it's not an instant process, and so you don't want to approach it thinking that it's going to be some sort of an instant process and you just have to ask to be saved and then suddenly all your problems are solved. It does not work that way. I'm sorry. It's not an instant process. So, it's a process. It's a process. It's not something that just happens immediately. And most people, if you practice this meditation, most people end up feeling better the very first time around. Now, if that's the case, continue to do it. With many people, there seems to be a strange reluctance to continue with it, and it's easy to kind of come up with. Mind seems to sort of offer all kinds of excuses. You can watch television or you can do all kinds of mundane things, but that kind of waste your time, and yet you have a hard time finding time to meditate. You think, oh, that's I just don't have time to do that. But you can sure find time for all these really mundane things, worthless things. Things that, that are just utterly worthless in the end. So if you find that it helps you, you have to continue to do it. You've got to want to do it. You have to continue to do it. And with me, I've been practicing this meditation for years and years and years. And by the way, you don't want to do it just for so that it makes you feel better. That's the wrong motivation. You have to do it. You have to do it because you want. You have the desire, the unquenchable desire to find your creator, and that is a mystery. Why do some people have that and other people don't? I can't tell you, other than that's your destiny. That's the way you're created. But you have to have this unquenchable desire to find your creator. So if you're able to continue with that, what happened with me, two or three years ago, it's something happened. And it wasn't even aware of it at the time. It was kind of a strange thing. At some point, And again, it happened, and I wasn't aware of it until after the fact, some time after the fact. I realized it's not a matter of believing that there's a God. I know there's a God. It's not a matter of believing that there's a creator. I know there's a creator. It's not a matter of trying to find meaning in life. There is meaning in life. there is a life giver. So I guess, you know, in conventional religious language, I could say God revealed himself to me. You know, I hate to use those kind of words because, you know, the fake and phony people use those words all the time, and that creates a lot of knee-jerk reactions in people. They hear those words and they want to cringe. But it was an interesting thing because this happened, and I wasn't even aware of it until actually fairly well after the fact. I suddenly realized that something had changed, and I couldn't even really put my finger on when or how, but it had. You know, it's kind of like the thief in the night. You know, someone steals something from you, and you don't realize it right away. It's gone. You know, and then at some point you realize, well, this thing, it's gone. What happened? When did that go missing? So in my case, it was like, when did my doubts go missing? When did my unease go missing? When did my anxiety go missing? It's gone. And, you know, and then I realized, well, it hasn't been around for a while. Where did it go? And it's not something that I was able to do for myself. Can't roll up your own sleeves. It's not possible. It is not possible. You cannot fix yourself. So that meditation is on my website. Give it a try. It's very simple technique. It can't hurt you. It's a very simple technique, and it will help most people. I can't promise it's going to help everybody, but it will help most people. And again, if you find that it does help you, then you, by all means, continue with it. You know, and it may seem like it's, sometimes it's two steps forward and maybe one step backwards, or maybe two steps backwards or three steps backwards. But you have to, if you can, go ahead and continue with it and keep continuing with it. That's the key, to persevere. You know, persevere to the end. And that's really what's important, is to continue to persevere. Because if you have the unquenchable desire to find your Creator, then this is the best way that I've found to find Him. You have to come out of your thoughts. You have to pull yourself out of your dreams, unreality. The dream machine that is your mind. And come into the moment. Because ultimately the moment right now is the only thing that actually exists. So, Anyhow, I think I'm going to go ahead and cut this off, see if I can get this uploaded, get headed to bed. Hope everyone is having a great week so far, and I will catch you later.
Remember, Trucker Tom is like Visa. He's everywhere you want to be.
Product reviews, restaurant reviews, photos, opinions, and more. Visit Trucker Tom's website at www.truckerphoto.com. You've been listening to Trucker Tom's podcast, and we'd love to hear what you have to say. All you have to do is send us an email to tom@truckerphoto.com.